It is so good to see everybody. Welcome to Church on the Rock, man. It's great to see your faces in the building. It's great to see you online. Here's what I want to say. If you own a boat and you are in church today, you get extra credit, all right? You have extra credit today. Right on, all right? All right. It's like the best boat day ever, and you came to church. Congratulations. It's really, really good to see you. No, honestly, welcome to all of you. Hey, for the last several weeks, I've been communicating specifically to those online. I've been asking, like, hey, tell me where you're watching from. Are you watching live? Are you watching a playback? You know, so forth and so on. And people have been communicating to me. They've been talking. And so I just want to say a very special welcome to Linda in Daytona Beach. It is so good to have you. Give it up, everybody that's in the building, for Linda. She has a daughter and a grandson that attend this church, and they are all in the same service together, two of them in the building and her online. So it's really, really good to have you. Thanks for tuning in, and a very special welcome from us to you. But hey, I want to extend this. I've been asking specifically, who is watching a playback? Like, you're not doing it live. I would love to know where you're watching from, when you watch, and why. Why do you choose a playback versus the live experience? Here's what I'm gathering. No one's answering that question, and I think it's because they skipped this part. I think they're just like, what's the point? Let's get to the point. So if you don't skip this part and you're watching the playback, let me know. I'm just curious. I would love to know why. I'm asking these questions intentionally because we are working very, very hard to serve our digital church well. We want to make you feel as engaged and as a part as possible. So let me know. I would love to hear from you. All right. You guys ready to get started today? Hey, we started to do something new for those that are in the building, and it just started this week. We have been providing notes, and we've been intentionally not handing them out to you, just trying to keep things as safe as we can. And we're trying to remain as touchless as possible. I know that's difficult when you're in the building sometimes, but one thing that we changed this week is we've put notes in the seat backs in front of you. So if you like walked into the auditorium, you're like, darn, I wanted notes, but I didn't see them or I forgot to grab them. They're right in front of you. You can grab them. If you're in the front row, you can just reach around like do one of these right here and just steal it from the person that's behind you. And then if you're online, all these notes are available digitally. You can find them by going to our website. Okay, you guys ready to get started today? All right, I'm going to take us to the foundation scripture that we've been starting with this all these 5 weeks. We're in part five of a series. This is where we've begun, is Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 19, and this is the voice of the Lord. And the Lord is saying this. He says, hey, I'm doing a new thing. I'm gonna start over. I want everybody to say it. In fact, in the chat, I'd love for you to type it. I want you to type the highlighted words. I am doing, say it with me, a new thing. A new thing. Now it springs up. Are you not aware? Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And this is what we've been talking about as a church family. The fact that God is up to something. God's doing a work in our hearts and in our lives. In fact, during 21 days of prayer and fasting this year, God put a prophetic word in me for our church. And what he spoke to me was exactly this. He said, hey, I am taking this church in a decisive direction. Nothing that you've been through is wasted. And here's what I want you to hear me say, that if he would say that to us, that means he is saying that to you. Amen. To you. And so if you are reconnecting to the church, if you say like, well, gosh, I just jumped in, I'm brand new perhaps, I have not seen the prior installments, I just want to say this to you. If you consider this church your home, I would highly recommend you go watch every single installment of this series. Go back and watch it, because this is important for all of us collectively. It's important for you individually. Amen, everybody? And so what we've been doing is we've been taking a journey through the book of Exodus, and we've been kind of looking at the life of Moses, the leader, and the people Israel who were in Egyptian captivity. They were being held as slaves. And God put a burden in the heart of Moses. He said, I need you to go back to Egypt. I need you to talk to Pharaoh, who was the king of Egypt. I need you to make a declaration to him and tell him, hey, let my people go. And then I want you to carry a message to my people themselves. And so Moses is in this process, and we've been kind of following this journey. We've been going through this process where Moses is having all kinds of life change and all kinds of moments with the Lord. And what we have found is that we can find ourselves in his story. And we can find ourselves in the story of the people of Israel. So some of you in our church, maybe you are still currently in part one, where God is still doing something in your heart that you can't even explain. Like something's changing deep within you. And you can't even put your finger on it, but it's you're thinking differently. You're more aware of things than you might have been before. Something is starting to change, and some of you don't even know how to put words to it. You're like, I don't even know what it is yet. I can just tell that something's happening on the inside. And I believe what's going on is that God is doing a great work in your heart. Some of you are still in part two where you're just trying to hear from God. Like, God, I need you to speak to me. I'm ready. Like, my heart is ready. My ears are open. What are you trying to say? And there could be a multiplicity of questions, perhaps, that you're trying to answer. Questions like, God, should I stay at my job or leave? Should I go to an in-state college or out-of-state college? Should I get a cat? Should I get a dog? Big questions that you're trying to answer. It could be, God, how do you want me to make a difference? You're just trying to hear. God, what are you trying to say? The heart has been moved. Now the ear is ready to hear. Others of you might just be trying to determine what's in your hand. That was part number three. And God asked Moses the question, hey, what's in your hand? What do you have? And some of you might be trying to figure out, okay, this is what I hold. This is what I possess. Like, what can I do with it? How can I maximize it? How can I make a difference in people's lives with it? God, it doesn't seem like much to me. What do you want me to do with what I've been given? What do you want me to do with my skills, my backgrounds, my personality, my spiritual giftings? What am I supposed to do with what's in my hand? Others of you are in part four still, where you have a major exchange going on. Like, the burden of sin and slavery has been lifted off of you, and you're still calling on God to apply his burden of serve onto you. We talked about that last week, and how God wants to lift the burden of slavery and sin off the backs of every single person. Amen. It's why the church exists. And what he wants to do is exchange that for a burden that he calls light and easy, so that we actually can make a difference in the lives of other people. And some of you are still, you're like, I'm just trying to sort it out. Today, though, I think I'm going to meet some others of you where you are. And so we're going to take a transition today. If you've been studying along and doing the homework with us, you know that we skipped a lot of chapters. So we left last week in Exodus chapter 6, and we're going to pick up the story today in Exodus chapter 14. And so here's the gap. If you're not aware of what the gap is what happens is at the end of chapter 6 is when God begins to move, as he described in Exodus 6:6, with mighty acts of judgment, a strong arm and mighty acts of judgment, and the plagues come into Israel. So the gnats and the frogs and the river of blood and all the things, you may have seen it from the movie or know the story, right, that all these things start to take place in Egypt that starts to establish before Pharaoh that God is, in fact, the one true living God. And I do, in fact, want you to let my people go. I am working on their behalf. And where we're going to pick the story up today is the journey. So they have left Egypt. They are officially out of their slavery. They're on the way in their decisive direction. And so we're going to pick that story up there, and many of us, I believe, are going to find ourselves there. Now, before I go to the screen, I didn't do this to the production team on purpose, but I want to read something just from my Bible, just to set us up a little bit. And so here's what's going on, is Israel's left Egypt, they're out of their slavery, they're probably excited, thank God we're going to the promised land, this is so wonderful, and God begins to do crazy stuff, like crazy miraculous type things, like things like leading them in the nighttime with a light, and he's leading them in the daytime with this fire, this cloud, you know, and they're following it. And then now where we find Israel is they've been led into this decisive direction, and they're standing on the shoreline of the Red Sea. Now, God has brought them here, but in the midst of their journey, while they're walking out of Egypt and they're journeying in toward their promised land, they find themselves with nowhere to go. Like, we're on the shoreline of the Red Sea. And what happens is a heart change happens in Pharaoh, and they start having second thoughts, and they start saying to themselves, like, uh-oh, we just lost our labor force. All of our help is gone. This might not have been the best idea. We got to do something about this. And they decide to go in pursuit of Israel. We're going to go capture them back. It's very interesting, and I want to pick up, this is Exodus chapter 14, I'm going to pick up in verse 10. The Bible says, as Pharaoh and his army approached, so here they come. They're coming to recapture Israel and put them back into slavery and bring them back into the land and put them back to their hard labor. As they approached, the people of Israel could see them in the distance, marching toward them. And I want you to pay attention right here. If you're a note taker, just write Exodus 14:10. There's a key word I want you to see, that the people began to panic. There's your word. They began to panic. Like, oh, shoot. What is going on? They have nowhere to go in front of them. They have an enemy bearing down behind them, and they start to panic, the Bible says. And they cried out to the Lord for help. And then they turned against Moses, and they complained. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave? Now let's just call time out for a second, because there's irony in this, is there not? Like, it's a little funny. Because they have been calling out to God, set us free, set us free, set us free. Their work intensified. The labor got more intense and heavier on them. And God, set us free. We want freedom. And then God sends Moses. He sends a man. Hey, I'm gonna do this for you. God has, we talked about this last week, not only the power to free you, but the desire to do so. And he comes and he gets the people out of the slavery in which they've been begging God to set them free from. They are now on their journey in their decisive direction. And all of a sudden, it doesn't look like they thought it was going to look. They start to panic and they start to question everything. That's what we're going to talk about today. You ready to get started? All right, now you can join me in your notes if you're a note taker. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. Last week I said this, that if you're going to study along and study ahead, pay attention to Israel's feet. We've talked about their heart. We've talked about their ears. We've talked about their hands. We've talked about their back. Today we're going to talk about their feet. So they're complaining. They're panicking. They're freaking out. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. What does he tell them to do? Stand still. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Stay calm. This is a powerful message that Moses is giving the people. He's like, hey, God called us into a decisive direction. God did this. We are not on the shoreline of this Red Sea with an enemy bearing down on our backs. By accident, God did this. Relax, everybody. He tells them, what I want you to do is have faith in God. Stand still. Just be firm and stand. And then the very next verse, so we've just read 14, the very next verse throws me just a little bit. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people, get moving. To me, there's comedic irony in this. We're one verse separated from Moses giving this incredible advice, stand still, watch God, have faith. God is going to do a great and mighty work among you. He's going to do a great work in you. Stand firm in your faith. Just hang tight and watch. And then one verse later, God's like, what are you doing? Let's go. Get moving. The interesting thing here is just some time has passed between the verses. It's really all that's going on. Moses didn't give advice that was outside of God's will, because God was, in fact, going to fight for Israel. In fact, God was going to do for them what they could never have done on their own. God was about to display his power in an incredible way like never seen before. So what Israel was called by God to do was, in fact, stand still. Watch what God's going to do. But then the very next command is, hey, let's go. We got to get moving. There's steps to take, okay? So let's continue in the story, and then I'm going to break this down a little bit. So verses 21 through 22, then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up the path through the water with a strong east wind. Come on, right? Some of you have cartoon movies in your mind right now. You can see it happening, okay? And the wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land, which is interesting. Me and Pastor Anthony were talking about this just a couple of weeks ago. It's interesting here because in my mind's eye, the way that I've always read it and thought about it, the way that really even the movies depict it, if you've ever seen one of those, is that like Moses just holds up the staff. It's just like the walls of water just stand up in walls, and then they just get on their feet and get going. But the Bible says that the wind blew all night long, and they not only walked across the Red Sea, they walked across it on dry ground, like an emphasis of God's power. Like I'm fitting to show you. I don't know. That's how I feel, you know? Like, watch and see what I can do. And it's a powerful thing that takes place because this water is standing up in these walls and this wind begins to blow, it becomes nighttime. And if you read the story or read the story, you see that on this side of Israel, God turned everything black so that the enemy couldn't find them. But on that side of God in Israel, he lit the whole camp for everybody to get their stuff ready. Like, it's miraculous and powerful, and what we see is the supernatural hand of God at work in his people. And I'm just calling out to us as a church, like this church, Church on the Rock, like, hey, let's be okay to trust God for his supernatural power once again. Do you have cancer? Maybe God wants to heal you completely. Is your marriage beyond repair? Maybe he wants to do a restoration work so big that it would astound your mind. Do you not have work? Maybe God's going to open a door for you that you never saw coming. I don't know what your struggle is. I don't know what your fight is, but I'm here to declare, like, God can do the supernatural. God can do for you what we can never do for ourselves. And the call is this, like, let's believe God to do stuff like this again, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. 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 So here's my point. So I want to kind of dig and teach a little bit. I didn't even finish my verse. So the people, what'd they do? They walked. Hey, stand still. God's going to move. Now get moving. And the Bible says that they walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground with the walls of water on each side. Now, let me get where I was going. I was ahead of myself. Your journey will require you to stand strong. I want to teach right here a second, because this is what I think happens in the lives of God's people all of the time. All the time. Is that we have moments with the Lord. We have these moments. Maybe it was in a church service. Maybe it was in a prayer time. Maybe it was at home with your devotion. Maybe it was in the car at the lunch break on the job site. I don't know like what your story is, but sometimes we have these moments with God where we sense God's presence and power. We sense his guidance and his leading, his voice. Something gets us set out into a direction. Like, I believe God is calling me to, and you fill in the blank, whatever that may be. And what tends to happen is, over time, life starts to happen. And now I'm days or weeks or months removed from my moment. And now, because life has gotten into the whirlwind and things are swirling and it's kind of life as usual and so forth and so on, what has a tendency to happen is that we start to question, like, well, wait, was that just me? Was that really God? Sometimes we'll begin to rationalize things like, well, I mean, I felt like that's what he said then, but like, is that what he actually meant? And like, have I made a mistake or an error? Am I going? And then what tends to happen is panic sets in. He said, leave your job. I put in my notice. I'm days away. Oh crap. Can I say that word? Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Confirmation. Am I right? Panic. Yeah. Happens. It happens. I know two people that are sitting in this very service where God said, what's in your hand? And both of them said, well, it's this. And then God said, let it go. Ooh, yeah. Let go. Neither of them know what is coming into their hand next. Neither of them, because God didn't say that. He just said, let go of what you're holding. So you need to step away from that. You need to leave that. You need to let go of this. And they let go. Now they're in a place where they're saying, all right. And what I know is when the hand is empty, panic. is what tends to settle in. Like, did I mess up? Is this stupid? Am I foolish? And now we start to rationalize something that God spoke when God's trying to do something supernatural. But if we keep it natural and we rationalize it into our own efforts and abilities and strengths, then we may fill our hand with the wrong thing. When God's like, no. Your ear heard and your hand released. Now it might look a little crazy, but this is the moment. This is the moment when you're going to see me like you've never seen me before. And if you panic, rationalize, grab hold of something else, well then, you're going to miss the moment. Because what Israel wanted to do was go back. They wanted to go back to what they knew. It wasn't better. It was just comfortable. I understand what's coming. I know what my day looks like. I know what life is like. I'm more comfortable there. And the problem is that sometimes we exchange comfort for miraculous. When God's like, hey, don't panic. Stand firm. Yeah, I know I look crazy, but this is what God said. And this is exactly what's going to happen. Look, the Bible tells us, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, he's speaking to those of us that follow Jesus, stand firm. And let nothing move you. Like you gotta hang there. Stand there and don't let anything move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. In other words, I'm not wasting your time and I'm not wasting your obedience and I'm not wasting your energy. I'm not wasting your effort. Stand in what you heard me say. Because I'm going to do a great work in you. You just have to wait and see. Stand still. Because God wants to move. And I'm telling you, this is the times when it's difficult to do. Because this is the time when your critics are going to be the loudest. Everybody's going to want to talk you out of what God said do. They're going to want to say, well, have you thought of this? Well, I don't know if that makes sense. You're going to feel the pressure from your family. Well, you could probably just do this. And I just don't understand why you won't do this. And you're going to get people pushing back on social media at you. And people are going to have their things to say. And you're going to find that when you are standing still in a culture of busyness and go and hurry and run and let's make something happen, that God's like, be still and know. That I am God. Wait and see what I will do for you in your obedience to simply stand on the obedience of what I said. I have spoken. I am the Lord. This is what I believe God is doing in the hearts and lives of many people in this church. So don't let pressure push you off your stance. This is what God said. Be crazy. Be the oddball. Be different and be okay with it. Because this is what the Lord has spoken. Amen. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? We have to stand firm against the attacks of our enemy and the draw to sin and the desire to go back to slavery. We just have to stand firm. Amen. Amen. All right, one more verse and we're going to move on, I think. Nope. Here we go. Your journey is a consistent walk of obedience. So it's like one and the same. I've got to stand here confidently and boldly. I know this is where I'm supposed to be. It looks crazy, looks desperate, doesn't look good. God said. I could tell you a story. I don't have time, but I could tell you story after story after story. I could tell you stories from recent history, like weeks ago when God spoke, and it was like, I don't like it, but okay. I mean, case in point. We have a serve team celebration today for that exact reason. Because God spoke to me. He spoke to my heart about exactly how to navigate our church over the course of the last few months. And let me tell you, not everybody liked it. Emails, comments, people's feet heading away, gone, checking out. Stand firm. Walk in obedience. And today, we'll celebrate perhaps the healthiest team our church has ever had. Yeah. Ever. Amen. I'm ahead of myself. I'll talk to my serve team about all that later. Amen. Your journey is a consistent walk of obedience. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. What is wisdom? It's to walk in the way of God. What is wisdom? It's to follow truth. What is wisdom? It's to stand firm in my faith. It is to be strong in what I know that God has said, because when we are obedient to the Lord, supernatural things then take place. Last verse, and I'm going to close right here. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. If ever this verse was appropriate, this season of your life, this part, this moment, yeah. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight, because it doesn't look like I want it to look. It doesn't feel like I want it to feel. I have more questions than I have answers. I am more unsure, perhaps, than I've ever been, but I'm pretty sure this is what God said. And I can't tell you how many times I've moved on a pretty sure. Pretty darn sure. We'll find out. Led hundreds of people with that question more times than I would honestly care to admit. I think this is what God wants. Let's go and let's find out. Let's stand tall. Let's be faithful. Let's walk by faith, not by sight. And I just feel like there are people in this church, God's calling you into a decisive direction. And some of your heart has been changed. Like 2020 did something to you. You're like, yeah, I'm not the same person anymore. And you've heard from God. You've identified what's in your hand. You carry a burden to serve other people. And now you're in the place where you're like, uh-oh, have I gone wrong? And I just feel like the voice of the Lord to you is saying, nope, just stand still. Continue to take steps of faith and obedience to me. This is the journey of faith. This is the journey of faith. We will all experience it and feel it. If you're not standing on a Red Sea shoreline currently, you're on your way to one. Okay, and if you're not on your way to one, you just left one. It's just the way it is. It is simply the way it is. So, this week's review gives you a couple of questions. Question number one. What is an area of your life where you need to stand firm? What is it? You identified that. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to that. He's going to reveal things to you, show you some things like, hey, this is where you need to just stand tall. Just like, be okay to be criticized for this. Be okay to be alone here. Can I speak into this one more moment before we close? That I tend to find it, and I have a particular sensitivity in my heart for these people, and it is people that are new in their faith. They're new to the whole idea of following Jesus, life in community and a church, and it's to them, like they didn't grow up that way. They get around all these people, like they can just wield Bible stories and quote verses, and you know, they get in life groups and listen to them pray, and they're just like, I don't know how to do that. Like, I don't think I do it right. You know, like all the pressures or whatever, they're in a circle or something where it's like, all right, let's turn in our Bibles to Ephesians, and everybody's just like, and they're just sort of like doing the little one eye, like, is it in the front or the back? All right, you know, right? Like, And I just particularly have a heart for you. I do. Because the whole mission of the body of Christ is for you. It's like to get you into the family and then to help you grow as a follower of Jesus. And so one of the things that I've recognized is that many times those people, when they first step into a life in Christ, is when they become alone. Now, it sounds a little ironic. Like, you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. You have a God that will never leave you or never forsake you, but like your friends don't understand. And your family thinks you're in a cult now. And you got all this pushback and stuff, and like you're cleaning up all your social media and you're changing your language, and you might have an extra enthusiastic energy about it, and now you're the Bible thumping, Jesus pounding, you know, like that, and like all of a sudden you find yourself in a place where you're like, I'm alone, should I go back? You see what I'm saying? And so for you, young Christian, like maybe it's just, hey, I know that Jesus changed my heart. And I know that I don't know all this stuff and I've got a lot to learn, but I gotta stand here. Because I promise you, God will never leave you alone. We're designed for community. So the friends that may have walked out on you, I hate that I cry all the time. Cannot stand it. The ones that walked out on you, God's like, don't you worry. Because I've got friends for you that you've been waiting your whole life for. I got friends that they walk in my character and with my heart, and they won't leave you either. Because they love me, which means they love you. Listen, stand firm, young Christian. You're going to be okay. Welcome to the family. We are here for you. We love you. Amen. Amen. All right. Number two, what specific step can you take to continue walking faithfully in your journey with Christ? So what's your next step? What can you do? So I got to stand firm on things and stand firm in places. But now let's get going. What's my faith walk? What's God asking me to do next? What is it that I'm going to step into that's like, man, I hope that it's solid when my foot lands there. What is it? The Spirit of God's going to reveal these things to you. Amen. Amen. Everybody got them? I'll give you just another minute. What's an area of your life where you need to stand firm? Number two, what's a specific step you can take to continue walking faithfully in your journey with Christ? Specific step. The more specific you can make it, the healthier you'll be. I mean, just as specific as possible, and no step is too small. Small steps become giant leaps. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Be faithful. Take steps, little at a time. Right foot, left foot. Right foot, left foot. And all of a sudden, over the course of time, you will have been transformed in your obedient walk of faith. Be specific. And don't let Satan make you think it's not significant. It is. Whatever the step is, it's not too small. Amen. All right, I hope you got it. If not, grab your phone, take a quick picture. Hurry. All right, here we go. All right, this week, I want you to read and ponder Exodus chapter 14. So some of you guys are like, that's what I just did. No, I know. I want you to read and ponder Exodus 14. So last week, I said, hey, church, as you read and you ponder through Exodus chapter 14, I said, pay attention to Israel's feet. Y'all remember that? This week, I want you to pay attention to Israel's eyes. What do they see? That's what I want you to be looking for and studying. Write some thoughts down and do some journaling or some unpacking. Get your thoughts wrapped around Israel and what they see. Okay. All right. Man, I hope you're enjoying this series. I got to tell you, I've been really digging this thing, just loving the study and bringing the word to you. It's been so fun for me. It's been enriching. God's been exposing me to things. I've seen things I've never seen before. I think I could have preached all year in Exodus. I really, really do. It's just deep and rich. There's so much in there. So if it shows back up before the year's out, don't be surprised. It's been doing a transforming work in me. And I hope and pray it's been doing a transforming work in you. So speaking of transformation, that's really what we're about here. I just want to say to everybody in the room, and particularly those online, that, man, we just, those of us that call this church home, those of us that walk with Jesus, we have found something to be so true, and that is that Jesus truly transforms lives from the inside out. So what we've kind of found and discovered is that we're not a bunch of people trying to modify everybody's behavior. We're a bunch of people trying to expose you to the truth of Jesus, because if he does stuff on the inside, it inevitably changes the outside. And so with every head bowed in the room and every eye closed, nobody looking around, those of you tuning in online, I'd love just to capture your attention. Those of you in the room who have maybe never made a decision to follow Jesus, this is your moment. And what I want to do is I just want to invite you to make a decision this morning. Make a decision tonight if you're watching this later. Make a decision this afternoon or wherever and whenever you might be listening to my voice. I just want to invite you to make a decision to follow Jesus, a God that wants to do supernatural things inside of you, supernatural things in your life. This is a God that not only has the power to save you, but he also has the desire to. And so if you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, this is your moment. I want to invite you to do that. And the way that I want you to do it is just to repeat a simple prayer after me. The Bible tells us it's about our heart changing and our mouth confessing. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can change your heart. And me as a pastor, I'd love to just guide you in a prayer. I just want to help you with the external part, the mouth part. And so if you're in this room and you're making a decision to follow Jesus for the very first time, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. If you're online, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And then if you're in the building and you already are a Christ follower, I just want to invite you to say this prayer out loud with us. Because those that are making this decision and saying this prayer for the first time, I want them to be able to say it with total confidence. So here's our prayer. I want you to say, Dear Jesus, I give you my life, all of it. Come into my heart. Forgive me my sin. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me new. All that I am is yours. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Hey, let's give God praise for those that made that decision. Love for you to let us know through a connection card, either in paper or digitally.